at center and coming in as Lube. Hewitt Knight, center net.
From point blank range.
You can put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, let's get this hour going on a Friday, April 19th from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Steinberg along with you here at the Hot Stove Lounge on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is Locker Cleanout Day 2024. Flames have done all their media. We have heard from all the Flames you're going to hear from. We've heard from head coach Ryan Huska, and we've heard from general manager Craig Conroy. And as we get this hour going, that's what we're doing. We're wrapping up, reacting to, and wrapping our head around some of what we heard here on Locker Cleanout Day. And we're going to do that now with Eric Francis of Sportsnet. It's time for the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is back Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45 at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. Hello, Mr. Francis. Look, we get Eric in studio in the Hot Stove Lounge. It's a special day when you get EF in studio.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they were serving breakfast. They had promised breakfast and lunch as part of the, you know, the Flames PR department. And when, you know, you're going to show up for that, right?
Well, it's when you're us, yes. When yeah. You live by the free food. That's what keeps us in media, free food or free any type of clothing. It could be the worst constructed jacket of all time.
With logos.
Like, not even ironed on.
Logos,
like,
yeah.
Stuck on.
Yeah.
You're like, it's free. I'm going to take that, and I'll wear it.
Yeah, come for the food, stay for the quotes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like come for the party, stay for the game. Roughnecks play their final game of the season on Saturday. Okay. There's a lot of things that I think – our talking points coming out of Locker Cleanout Day, but you were, and we talked about this last Friday, like, we came into today and we came into this media availability with one thing at the top of our list, and that was asking questions to and finding out where Jacob Markstrom is and what he's thinking coming out of a very tumultuous season for him. Now, your latest up at sportsnet.ca is now published. I'll just read you what the takeaway and what Sportsnet just tweeted out on this Friday afternoon. Though Flames goalie Jacob Markstrom laments the fact his season was clouded by trade speculation, at Friday's end of season availability, he further fueled the rumors. That was kind of my takeaway from Jacob. Not that I was surprised. Jacob very much holds his cards close to the vest, but because Jacob is a guy that does not like to tip his hand that much.
Talk to us.
I don't think he enjoys talking anything about these himself to begin with.
Yeah.
And then especially when it comes to these types of speculative questions. So no, we didn't get any definitive answers from Jacob. And not like we expected we were going to, but because of that, as you said, it just kind of adds more fuel to the speculation fire about what is going to happen with Jacob and the Flames this summer.
You have a two years left on your contract. If you come into a press conference and say anything other than I'm looking forward to next year or that something of that ilk, then to me you're saying I'm not sure I'm coming back. I'm not interested in coming back. I'm not sure I'm coming back. The two quotes that stuck out to me out of everything that was said, Conroy spoke for over half an hour. Coach was like 20 minutes. All the players put in good time. Two quotes. One was from Jacob Markstrom. He said, I don't know, when we asked him if he'll be back here next year.
Yep.
He holds all the cards in that situation. He has a no trade clause and he says, I don't know. And then Craig Conroy coming on shortly thereafter and saying, time will tell when it comes to Jacob Markstrom. To me, that said it all. Some people would say, well, that clouds it. I don't know what's going to happen. No, to me, that made it very crystal clear that the they will be working very hard to trade him this summer. I don't think he wants to be back here. I think he's frustrated with the situation here, how everything unfolded. And I think the organization obviously sees great merit in giving Dustin Wolf the ball to run with. They think that Dan Vladar will be healthy enough to start the season. If he's not, you know, whatever, you can go to your third or fourth stringer in the organization. At the end of the day, though, I do think it's pretty clear Jacob Markstrom has played his last game as a Calgary Flame, as we all suspected. My question is, does that make sense, given all that we've heard today about how they want to make the playoffs next year? Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people that want them to just tank. Okay, that's not happening. They're trying to go out this as a hybrid. I think that it was pretty clear to me some of the other messages I got from Conroy, they want to go out and get somebody to help Jonathan Huberdeau. That's pretty clear to me. That means they're dipping their toe in the free agent market,
yep,
which means you're overpaying on someone, often with too much term, but hopefully they'll be careful of that. Conroy said he's not interested in 7-year terms on the free agent market. But if you're going to say that our goal next year is to make the playoffs, and I guess that's every team in the NHL. San Jose started this season.
Remember when Jay Feaster said that on Jerome Iginla Day, when he said, hey, my mandate is to go out and make the playoffs next year? Everybody says it, right?
Everybody says it. And I think everybody means it, to be honest. But if you're just going to sit there and say that you're going to go and try and make your team better next year and maybe pick up some free agents, pick up clearly a veteran for Jonathan Huberdeau, then why are you trading away the most important player on your team? Well, the answer would be because he doesn't want to be here, or because you feel like the relationship's fractured. That's the way I see it. Do you think I'm way off base?
No, I came into so I came out of the season. So if you were to talk to me on Thursday night following the Flames win over San Jose and say, hey, Pat, what's your gut feeling on Jacob Markstrom? I would have told you this. I would have said, yeah, you know, I think that Jacob would, and the Flames are aware of this. I think Jacob would prefer to be on a team that is closer to winning. And Jacob would probably prefer a different location, a change of scenery for next year. With 2 years left on his contract and being a coveted goalie on a very thin goaltending market this summer, he knows he has leverage. And so my gut would, I would have said, my gut says he's not back next year. So that's what I would have said on Thursday night. And I'd say the exact same thing after hearing him on Friday morning. And, you know, that is because there was no squashing, there was no – and that's not a criticism of Jacob at all. A guy who holds his cards close to the vest, as he told us. He's not going to be getting into these things in front of cameras and in front of he was very clear in saying,
Fair enough.
Kind of none of your business. But with that goes along with it that – because you've decided not to say anything, it is going to lead to more speculation. It is going to lead to more reading between the lines. And, I come away just as confident in my opinion that, he's probably going to be elsewhere next season.
Because it's easy to trot out the old, I'm looking forward to next year. I hope I'm be back. I love these guys. I love this team. Maybe there's some rougher waters ahead, but I signed a – say whatever you want. I remember Matthew Tkachuk saying all those things months before he bolted and knew he was bolting the whole time. Johnny Gaudreau said the same thing. I don't have a problem with athletes. I know we always met. You don't want anyone to lie. And I always remember Ken King always used to say the one thing is never lie to the media. But you can avoid, you can skirt the – and all I'm saying is you could say you have every intention of returning this year. And then if you get traded, you could say, oh, things changed. And we decided to go in a different direction. That's fine. Same with Tkachuk. Same with Johnny Gaudreau. I think everyone understood. But by not saying anything at all today, it said everything to me. And I just will throw out the only caveat is if they can't get what they're looking for, then I really would strongly urge the organization not to force a trade and get a weaker return than they feel they deserve. You and I have spoken about it many times. There are going to be a handful of teams that lose in the first round this year that probably didn't even see it coming, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, or could be the Oilers. Like I don't know who it's going to be, but they're going to lose and say, man, like our goaltending was the reason we lost. And there's a goalie out there that could solve that problem in a heartbeat. And he's right there. Let's get in line and try to – or, you know, I don't think – You said there's a thin goalie market out there. Like, I don't know how many teams.
And what I meant by that is there's not really – if for teams trying to solve a goaltending problem, there's not a lot of super sexy options out there. And Jacob Markstrom, with his age and his track record and his contract being fairly easy to absorb right now, he's going to be, in my eyes, the most coveted if the Flames make him available on the trade market like we believe they will. I think he'll be the most coveted guy.
Yeah, Flames most coveted for sure. The question is, how many people are in line? At the trade deadline this year, it was clear there was only one team in the league that had even mild interest in him. They probably had great interest in him, but they weren't interested in paying the price that it would take to get him. So good on the organization for avoiding selling low. Sell high. You got 2 years. You can wait even next summer to trade him, which is what I would encourage them to do. I'll tell you, they'll be heavily criticized, Craig Conroy, if he doesn't get exactly what he wants for Jacob Markstrom this summer. Even if the relationship is a little fractured right now, there's some noses at a joint. That can easily be fixed. They're all big boys. Everyone's getting paid a lot of money to just be professional. And you got to say that about, I know we said that all year about Markstrom, the consummate professional in terms of putting all this and parking it and being, for three quarters of the year, he was the team's MVP. The last quarter of the year, the whole team kind of fell off the face of the earth for obvious reasons. They lost five veterans. So, but he was their most important player this year. I still think Kadri's their MVP because he was there from start to finish.
Right.
But no one can disagree that Markstrom wasn't the most important person in terms of keeping them in games that sometimes 100%. They probably didn't deserve to be in.
Yeah, 100%. Up until the injury, that there was no question who this team's MVP was. And then coming back from the injury after the trade deadline, I think he won just one of his final seven starts. Yeah. And the numbers definitely took a dip. But I think that their frustration and a different team and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I really do think there will be. Like, think of the numbers that you're seeing on Alexander Georgiev, for instance, in Colorado. His numbers are not super sexy going into the playoffs on an Avalanche team that believes that they can win a second Stanley Cup in 3 years and believes that they're in their Stanley Cup window. If Georgiev's the main reason why they don't end up having a long run, it's one of those situations where I could absolutely see the Avalanche getting involved and being a team looking for a goaltender. You mentioned Toronto, Carolina. There's just three off the top of my head that on top of New Jersey, maybe Buffalo, maybe Utah. Like, there are a number of teams here that I think could be in the market for a goalie. And that's why, you know, I'm curious how you would respond to this. Because any player, I think, if you were to ask them right now, and they're sitting right beside you, hey, would you rather be on a retooling team or a team that's close to, you know, competing for a Stanley Cup? You know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. But not everybody can go to management and say, yeah, I'd like to be on a contender and please move me there and then expect to get it done. Well, Jacob knows his situation. Jacob knows the things that we just said. So if that is the message that he is portrayed to the Calgary Flames, well, he's done that because he knows that there are teams that covet him, there's a market for him, and that it could actually happen, as opposed to somebody else who would say, yeah, I'd like to be on a contender. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, you signed this deal, and there's not a huge market for you, so I don't know if that's overly realistic. It feels realistic with Jacob.
Oh, yeah, and there's a real danger in just any guy who comes in your door and says, I'm not really big on a retool. I'd rather kind of win a bunch of Stanley Cups if you're okay with that. You can't just move everybody out because they think the grass is greener.
Right.
But you also have to work with these people. Listen, Jacob Markstrom holds all the cards because he has a complete no-movement clause. And at some point, even if the Calgary Flames were trying to win the Stanley Cup next year, at some point there would be an exit strategy to trade that contract. You've got to work with this man. If you don't work hand-in-hand with him right now, then it might be a whole lot harder to trade him down the road. So, you know, it'll be interesting in terms of the parameters he sets. If he sets parameters, we're not going to learn about all that stuff.
Like, no.
if he comes to Craig and says, we sat down and talked about it. These are the four teams we'd go to. That also may hamper any chances of trading him, right? Because if you back the Flames into a corner, they're not going to get the sort of return that they are hoping for. So I still have no doubt that it's going to get done. And But it won't be a better team because of it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, your coffers will be stocked a little more and moving forward.
But in the immediacy, definitely not.
Definitely not. Like, so I get that the hybrid approach that this organization's taken for 30 years, which is, yeah, we'll kind of stock the cupboards, but we're also going to try and win every year. You have to say that, but do they really believe that? If you trade Jacob Markstrom, it's a pretty clear indication that you're getting it. You're conceding that you're probably got another year or two without playoff hockey. And that's no slap to Dustin Wolf or Dan Vladar, but you can't expect that duo, combined with the fact that you've been retooling the team already and you're short some veterans, to be any sort of force in the playoffs or get there.
Is there anything that could have been done differently? Like, I know that Jacob was upset with how things went leading up to the deadline and, you know, had that infamous quote of, you know, would have liked to see things handled differently upstairs. But it wasn't the Flames leaking that information.
I like where you're going with this.
I understand the frustration of that happening. I look back, like, what could they have done better? Like, did he want Craig Conroy to come out and squash the rumors? And I'm curious what, because that wasn't Craig Conroy leaking things to the media about, hey, Jacob Markstrom's going to the New Jersey Devils. That came from other sources. So I look back, I'm like, I don't know exactly what the Flames could have done differently in that situation.
I'm 100% with you. And I asked Jacob that today. I said, like, what, you said that you didn't like the way that they approached it from up above. Well, what could they have done differently? And he basically just kept going back to, I just didn't like the fact that there were rumors, you know, from start to finish this season. I didn't like the way it was handled. Well, even if the Calgary Flames had held a press conference to announce that there's no chance that we would trade Jacob Markstrom, that still wouldn't squash any of the rumors, nor does it undo the damage that he felt was done to his mindset with all the distractions. Listen, as you just read, my column today is about the fact that this is a guy who lamented the fact that there were all these rumors out there. And guess what? He just stirred up a whole bunch more of them today. Not rumors, but speculation and questions. Now, the distraction is not there because he's not playing and he probably won't read any of it while he's over in Sweden. But the reality is, he didn't make the situation any better today. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know,
I don't want to be critical of him because everyone involved is in a tough spot. No one's going to lay out the blueprint for how we proceed from here.
Yeah.
I get that. We ask pointed questions. They dodge them. That's the way the media and sports teams work. But I just didn't think that enough was done today to squash the reality that he's gone.
If that is what he wanted to do. Jacob went about his business very much like he goes about his business. And I wasn't really – like, were you surprised that it went the way it did? Just kind of the, hey, my life, my stuff, that's my business. And because that's kind of how Jacob Markstrom has always gone about his business as a member of the Calgary Flames. So I wasn't surprised that that's how he decided to handle today either. I was kind of expecting it to go like this.
Yeah, to be honest, my comment after he finished today was, wow, I thought he was quite respectful, which I wouldn't generally use that word when it comes to how he deals with us. He doesn't like, I'm not saying it's a personal thing. I mean, maybe it is with a bunch of us. I don't know. But he just generally gets his back up when he comes out to talk to us, and he's bracing for the tough questions or what he perceives are tough questions or places he doesn't want to go, and he bristles and he kind of lashes back. Today, I didn't sense that. I didn't see any lashing. I thought he was very respectful and measured, but also still very evasive. And so, you know, there's nothing that can be done about that, I guess.
Jacob and what we heard from him on Locker Cleanout Day, it's the Eric Francis Hour, Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca this hour on Flames Talk. Pat Steinberg along with you as well. Kind of juxtaposed by what we heard from Nazem Kadri and, you know, those two guys have been so crucial for the Flames this year, two of their unquestioned best players.
Yep.
And honestly, I think two of the guys that fans were interested in hearing from about their take on the future and their place with this team in the future and just very different things that we heard from Jacob compared to, for instance, a guy like Nazem Kadri.
I give a ton of credit for what Kadri said today. He didn't mince words anymore. Listen, you know, I heard you talking about it yesterday, that column I wrote, right after the trade deadline, I, I pulled Nazem aside and said, look, I don't want to ask this in front of everybody else. I just want to ask you one-on-one. Listen, do you want to be here? You didn't sign up for this. What, you know, what's your mindset in terms of a retool? Like, because he's so lackadaisical in front of the media, I think it's misconstrued oftentimes as someone who doesn't care. Or he's like, ah, I'm getting my money, I don't care. I think it was brilliant today. And I believe him when he said, no, I signed up for this. I had choices and my mind hasn't changed. I love Calgary. I've fallen in love with the city. I like helping the youngsters. I'm pretty good at it. Like, I thought he said all the right things. Mm-hmm. And I think he dispelled a bunch of misnomers out there. They just doesn't hardly care at all. This guy's play on the ice this year, there's no question he was the MVP. You know, the stuff that we're hearing about that he was doing off the ice too as a leader in these meetings, you know, and also how he took these youngsters under his wing. I mean, you've covered all this all year long, and so it's nothing new for you to hear this, but it is impressive to me what he said, how he – and listen, this is an organization that's been reeling for several years over departures. This is a guy who finally put a stop to it. Him and Mackenzie Weegar,
yeah,
in the last month have both come out and publicly said – I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I love the city. The city gets a bad rap. This organization, whatever the case may be. Weegar referred to it today as the dark cloud that's hovered over this organization. I feel like we're past that to a degree. I mean, I think we'll always probably deal with it because it's a cold city and there are much greener pastures. But it was a huge moment, I think, when a leader like that turned the narrative,
yep,
on – that's the narrative that's dogged this franchise for years, and it's never ending. And it's funny, I don't even want to write about that narrative because I'm so sick of it. Just plays into the belief that people would have outside the market that there are reasons why you wouldn't want a player. I don't think there are reasons why you don't want a player. I think there are lots of reasons why someone wants to play somewhere else more, right? Like when people say they want out, all those guys wanted out of Calgary. I don't believe that many of those five guys that were traded this year, quote-unquote, wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't willing to extend their contract, given the fact that they now have an option between 31 other cities.
Yeah.
That's all I look at.
And in Chris Tanev's case, had an opportunity to go to a contender. And
chase a dream.
Noah Hanifin would have been one of the hottest free agents on the market and, you know, wanted to go somewhere that he would re-sign, which he has done now with the Vegas Golden Knights, so on and so forth. No, I agree. I don't think it's a get-me-out-of-Calgary thing.
I don't blame any of the guys. Maybe Zadorov, right? Zadorov felt like he wasn't getting enough ice time and wasn't used well enough and felt like he deserved more of a role somewhere else. Now, it's probably pretty clear he's not going to get that anywhere because he certainly didn't get that in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think anybody just said, trade me right now.
Yep.
Because I'm frustrated or I don't like it here. They all just said, respectfully, think about it. The big three, Tanev, Lindholm,
Hanifin,
all seriously contemplated signing extensions.
Yep.
And at one point, if you had caught them on the right day, I bet all three of them would have signed. But you didn't catch them on the right day. Team got off to a poor start. Everything ground to a halt, and it altered the course of the franchise's history.
The you know, it's funny as we're talking about this. I guess I didn't expect Kadri to be as adamant and kind of straightforward and direct as he was.
Yeah.
I thought that he might go the direct, because he's so polished, right? He's so good. He's been in the hornet's nest of, yeah, Toronto. Like, no question that you or me could ask Nazem Kadri is going to phase him. No way of phrasing it is going to be more blunt than some of the stuff he would have gotten as a member of the Maple Leafs. And so I was expecting maybe more, or I was wondering if, you know, a guy like him who is wired to win cups and it's all about championships and who's such a competitive guy, I wondered if he might, because he's so good at it, you know, deflect or dance around very nicely. Yeah, I want to win, so we'll see where this thing goes.
100%.
And instead, he went the complete, not opposite direction, but he went full on into, no, I want to be here. I want to, and you asked him the first question. He said, no, I chose to be here. I still want to be here. I want to be part of the solution. And a few questions later, I was like, just to reiterate, like, you want to be.
Did we hear you right?
Well, it was more just like, you're cool with being like, you want to be a bus driver. You want to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. If it takes 2 or 3 years, you want to be part of this. Like, yeah, I do. He's like, I guess I'm pretty good at being good. And like, I just, it was very interesting to see him go down that road because I wasn't sure if he was going to. And I think to your point, that's a really important thing that we heard from a high-profile player in this league.
Yeah. You use the word important. I'll say refreshing.
Yeah, also very refreshing.
People in this city, Flames fans, Calgarians in general, have been taking it in the teeth for a while here. And for someone to change the narrative, someone as high-profile and important as him to change the narrative, I think it's fantastic. Now, hey, I think we'll be dogged by that narrative for a lot of years, perceived or not. But there are him and Uyghur stepping up. That's leadership.
Yep.
That's leadership. And, hey, again, things could change. He could be traded this summer and just decide, you know what? My wife hates it here. We've tried so hard. There's real issues. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah.
But things can change on a dime. I get it. As Kadri said to me when I tried to ask him about this like a month ago or 2 months ago, things change quickly in sports. There's also the chance that nobody's really buying into, but there is the chance that this team could be competitive in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Obviously history suggests it's not going to for a while, but stranger things have happened. When this team won that conference two seasons ago. And now we're talking about a massive. Exactly. We're talking about a massive revamping, retool.
But nobody saw that coming that year. Nobody came into the season saying, well, you know, Daryl Sutter had, you know, really put the pieces in place for them to be an elite team the next year. But truth is, he did. And they were.
And they did it on the backs of the best line in hockey. So all you need is three guys for that to happen. It's not easy. We've never seen it here in the history of the Flames. I mean, I guess you could argue maybe one of those teams in the 90s. No, they never would have had the best line in hockey. No way. They were always going up against the Oilers. They had some pretty good lines. But, you know, it was the only time in Flames history they had the best line in hockey, undisputed. And now all three are gone. I'm not suggesting they have the pieces in place to come up with the best line in hockey. But, I was going to say, but Kuzmenko and Kadri sure showed some – there's an upside to both those guys. Those boys could both be 80-point guys. I don't think that would surprise anybody. If you could find the right guy to be on the wing, right now it's possible, but who knows? Anyway, things could change in a hurry. That's the motto of the day, and I like that Kadri's rolling with it, even though it's changed in a negative way.
Well, and the other thing that I think will – you know, help dissipate that dark cloud of, you know, Calgary not being a very desirable place to be. I think part of it, I think part of it was the Daryl Sutter situation. Mm-hmm. I think that led to some of the dark cloud. And, mm-hmm. and again, that's not all a Daryl thing because, you know, there was also the other side of it where, you know, players didn't want to play for, like, there's two sides to it, but that hung over this team, and that played into why some of these guys were more interested maybe in exploring other options last summer, and that all of a sudden breeds a reputation, and they also missed the playoffs, and they
also don't have a building.
They don't. There's no building. But
this year, that's turned around.
Exactly. Now we know there's a building coming. And then you start winning. I mean, people want to go to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And Edmonton suffers the same type of things that other small market teams do, like Winnipeg, like Buffalo, like Columbus, like Calgary, like Edmonton, like Ottawa. All these teams have trouble sometimes attracting big-name talent. All of a sudden, you start winning, and then you become a desirable place to be. And then Zach Hyman is signing with the Edmonton Oilers. And other players are signing. Like, that also helps dissipate a dark cloud when it comes to whether or not guys want to sign here or stay here.
Well, listen, you know, nobody wants the attraction of Edmonton is getting a chance to play with, you know, maybe the top two players in the world or two of the top players in the world and certainly the best player in the world. I don't know if Jonathan Huberdeau, being the player he was a couple of years ago, if there's a cachet there left where a guy'd be like, I'd sign in Calgary. If you're going to tell me I'm going to play with Huberdeau, I want to be in. I don't know. He's fallen so far in the last 2 years that I'm not sure that that's the way anyone would look at it. But I want to I think we're going to get into the second segment, just the overwhelming positivity today compared to where we were a year ago. And there's some of the things we were talking about with dark clouds. It is stark. We'll get into that after the break. But I always joke that I got into journalism because you didn't need a math. But I came up with a math equation today that I was kind of for the Flames moving forward. The milestones of the forwards, the veterans, all those guys hitting milestones, or a lot of them having really great years, combined with the youth, the guys that really stick up, plus free agency and maybe even some of the draft picks. You know, you could potentially, that first rounder could make the team. I don't know. Equals optimism. Like, I really think that, like, no one's fooled into thinking this team's going to be a contender next year. But what I'm saying is people left this building today and last night as well.
Yeah.
People left. I'm like, how many times have you ever been to a game 82 for a playoff less team and everyone left with a bounce in their step? That was a great night last night. Mm-hmm. All the storylines almost came true other than Wolf getting, you know, falling short of the shutout and Kadri not scoring. But all those other milestones guys hit, people are feeling good about this team moving forward, and that is a radical departure from where we were a year ago.
Let's dive into that as we continue along on the Eric Francis Hour. Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Pat Steinberg on Flames Talk in the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is back Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45 at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18+. Please play responsibly.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Francis Hour rolls on from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge. We're wrapping up Locker Cleanout Day 2024. Steinberg and Eric Francis, the man of the hour from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Hey, why? A year ago-ish, we were here doing the same thing. Although the only difference last year is we didn't hear from the GM or the head coach, but we did hear from all the players last
year. Not for a while, yeah.
Why does today feel different? Why is Locker Cleanout 2024 in your eyes in stark contrast to Locker Cleanout of 2023?
I think that the organization has a clear direction. I'm not saying it's 100% clear, but they have a direction that's different than past years where it was just, you know, I don't want to say rudderless. I don't mean that at all. I thought Treliving was a good GM. So that's not about that. They know where they're going right now. People are excited that the way I put it is the Band-Aid's been ripped off on this youth movement. You know, something that's been talked about for a lot of years. Well, the stars aligned and gave them the opportunity to finally do it in a big way.
Yep.
Trade away five veterans and get a boatload of prospects and picks. And I think people are excited about that because this city is sick of the mushy middle. And I'm not saying it's going to change anything because I think they'll be in the mushy middle again next year. And the way they talk today scares me that they're going to be exactly in the mushy middle again next year. But the reality is there's a whole lot more to be excited about if you're a Flames fan, whether you're going down to the Wranglers games in the playoffs to see these young guys and see who's coming next, or you're just reading about them, or you just know in the back of your mind that more guys are going to step up and author stories like the one Connor Zeri authored this year and Martin Pospisil. Those two guys were the two most exciting things about this season this year, and there are going to be two more of them next year. I don't know who they're going to be. I don't think the organization knows who they're going to be, but that's exciting.
Yep. Well, I mean, like, you've got Sam Honzek, who's going to make his pro debut Friday night for the Wranglers. He's going to get into the lineup, and maybe Hunter Brustevich is a guy who comes to camp and competes for time. I don't know. You know, there's just – it did feel a whole lot – even some of the things that we heard from players. Mackenzie Weegar said straight up, yeah, I told you last year that it didn't have a lot of fun. I had way more fun this year.
Yeah.
You know, like Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri. Like
Conroy said there was a lot of optimism in all the meetings.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of GMs are going to kind of spin it that way, but there really was. In all of our talks with all the players, yeah, they're disappointed at the stark reality that they're going home tomorrow, but the reality also is that there's a light at the end of the tunnel here. Yeah. It might be a long ways off. It might be the lighting in the new building. that we're looking at. But it's the either way, it's finally done with this core that so many people were sick of because it was never going to get the job done in a lot of people's eyes.
They do have two first-round picks in this upcoming draft, and they do have five first-round picks in the next three drafts, and maybe they get more. Who knows what trades could happen this summer? If a Jacob Markstrom trade happens, would a first-round pick in one of the next 3 years be involved? I don't know. But they have the opportunity to, because right now, if they're going to get to where they want to go, they need to find a foundational player or two. If we believe Dustin Wolfe is one of them, and I think there's a good chance that he is. I mean, I know that it's not like he went out and posted a shutout in every start down the stretch, but he won his last four starts.
Yep.
He's still acclimating to the NHL. He looks like a guy who belongs in this league. And knowing that, I think that we're talking about a guy that has the chance to be one of the pillars going forward. But they need that pillar defenseman, and they need that number one center iceman going forward. And so that is another area where if you're a Flames fan, you're like, okay, I think they know that too. And they've got these picks, and they've got these options, and they've got the ability to go out and make the upcoming drafts very important. Yeah, I think that optimism is fair right now because – there's a general manager who's admitted both in words and in action that they need to go in a different direction, that the status quo wasn't working anymore.
Does it scare you that, as you kind of alluded to, you think this general manager is going to go out and hit free agency? He said he wasn't interested in 7-year contracts or anything like that, but anytime you go into the free agency market, you're overpaying. It's just the way it works. You overpay. Because you don't have to give up assets to do it other than money and cap space. I would rather see them go in next year with a whole lot of cap space and weaponize that in so many different ways that are possible, as opposed to going out and signing some veteran who you think is going to mesh with Jonathan Huberdeau or be a veteran presence for the defense. I would rather them go into the season next year with an almost identical lineup to this year and just say, spots are open for more youth. Have at her, boys. What do you think? Because I think they're going to go out and they're going to get an impactful center or winger to play with Huberdeau, and I think that's going to set them back. I don't like the idea of it myself.
I mean, I guess it depends on if they go out and do that on a 1 or 2 year deal. I don't mind that.
That's
if they
fair.
If they go out and get a couple players to help transition this group and help buy a little bit more time for some of these younger players to truly get to their peak ability or where they're ready to be the guys who are driving the bus. Like, I don't think Connor Zeri's ready for that next year. Even if they...
No.
I still think Connor Zeri needs a Nazem Kadri to help him continue along or needs to be a number three center on this team with guys like Backlund and Kadri insulating him above him on the depth chart. And so guys like that, I still think need time. Coronado needs time. Who they draft at 9th overall or first overall, that would be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Whoever they draft with their first pick this year, they're going to need time. So I don't mind if they go and sign a 1 or 2 year deal for somebody to come in and maybe play with Huberdeau and try to unlock a little bit more offense there. Where I don't love the idea, and Craig Conroy admitted as such when he sat down with us a little earlier on Friday. He said, yeah, it's probably fair that, you know, shorter term 1, 2, 3 year deals would be what we're looking at. Because the 7 year deal, the long term deal, I don't think that makes a ton of sense for where the organization's going
for a while now. Like, I don't see anyone on the current, like, I mean, we're going to have discussions on probably next week or the week after about, you know, what would it look like if you were to talk to Sharon Govich or Kuzmenko about a long-term extension? I know you've already spent time talking about that, but I think everyone's pretty much in agreement that neither one of those guys do you want to commit to this summer. I think you still need to see more. Maybe Sharon Govich you'd want to talk about if the price was right, sign him to another 2 or 3 years. But
what about,
nobody's signing a 7-year deal. For
you don't, you don't like the idea of a 5-6 year extension for Sharon Govich to see if you can. The reason why I say that, Kuzmenko I need to see way more of before, but Sharon Govich just hit 30 plus and is 25, 26 years old. You've got a real, I think, opportunity to, if that is what this guy is, and the Flames have got the best book on him, I wonder about going 5 or 6 years and then maybe when this team is starting to get good again, like, oh, we got a really nice cap number on Sharon Govich because we took that risk in the summer of 2024. He's the only one where longer term would make sense.
Sure, I guess I could be convinced of that, but it would all come down to the price. It would all come down to your comfort with the price. Like, you're not talking $7 million a year for Sharon Govich,
no,
right?
No, kind of somewhere in the 5 to 6 range, if you could go there.
Man, I still know if he would sign it. I mean, Mangiapane's making what, 6?
5.8, yeah.
5.8, and, you know, he had the 1 year at 35 goals. I mean, is that, you're looking probably more for Sharon Govich. I'm just being realistic. I mean, anyway, he's an intriguing guy, and certainly I would sign him ahead of Kuzmenko. Although the other side is, I think the Kuzmenko ceiling is much higher, but also the threat of him being disinterested,
right,
is also very real. We just watched what happened in Vancouver. He went from being a fan favorite. Boy, when they showed him on the Jumbotron when we were in Vancouver the other night,
yeah,
fans went nuts.
Did they?
They loved him. They were like, oh, welcome back. They really liked him. They didn't do like a welcome back Kuzmenko video. They didn't announce anything. It was just at the end of a play. They just put the camera on him as he skated back to the Flames bench. And there was like this spontaneous response. So, hey, it makes sense. He scored 39 goals with that team as a rookie 2 years ago. But what happened last year? So you worry about that happening if you sign him long term. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked on those guys. I want them to go into camp next year saying we've got more spots open for youngsters. And I'm not sure that's going to be possible. We were just talking with Wes about how they've got a lot of forwards signed right now.
Yep.
There's not a lot of space open right now for youngsters to come in. And that's a shame because I think this would be a perfect year to open up even more spots for youngsters.
No, the only way you do that is by, you know, you mentioned Mangiapane. Mangiapane's got 1 year left on his deal at 5.8. And if there is a feel that, you know, the Mangiapane camp, his representative is Rich Winner, and if the Mangiapane camp are like, yeah, you know, this is our number, this is where we'd like to be, and the Flames say, that's probably not where we are, well, maybe you go in a similar direction as you just went with all your UFAs.
With Toffoli, this, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Toffoli or you know, maybe you wait and it's more of like a Zadorov timeline and it happens in November or something like that, but you make room that way, and maybe things like that are how you open the door for more. Because you're right, as of right now, how does Pelche get into this lineup next year?
It's tough.
Based on what we saw Thursday night. Either there was talk about A.J. Greer and whether or not he would be back as an unrestricted free agent. I mean, you've got a lot of, right now, spots that are kind of like, hey, we got veterans and one-way deals here. It would be tough to have more open space at forward as we look at it April 19th. I'm curious what Craig Conroy does to kind of affect that and see if he can make that a little bit different once we get to September.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, who's the his name escapes me, the hotshot youngster they signed out of college there. Who was
Sam Morton.
Yeah. Hobie Baker, you know, one of the final 10 in the Hobie Baker discussion. I mean, that's, you know, that it wouldn't be completely ridiculous to suggest that maybe he could make a real impression in camp or a month or two into the season, pull a Connor Zeri, right? I mean, there's the perfect candidate for it. And you've done such a good job stocking your cupboards with guys that fit that bill and I think could make that next jump, theoretically. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. There are growing pains expected along the way here. And I just keep saying that's okay. I'm not team tank. I do believe in this mix of veterans, and I use the word retool, and I think it's the right way to go about it. I really do. But I also don't think that it's smart to try and win, put too many eggs in your basket next year to win. If you want to sign a free agent for 2 years, have at her. But it's not going to be an impactful guy, in my opinion, because guys that are UFAs.
Yeah, Jonathan Marchessault and Chandler Stephenson, they're not going to be signing 1- and 2-year deals.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plus, they're in a pretty good situation right now. They'd probably take less to stay in Vegas, in a city where they're always committed to winning every year, and you're comfortable there, and it's kind of a nice city to be, and the weather's great, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not in favor of a big, splashy press conference of any sort this summer, not only because it disrupts my golf game, but because I just don't think you need to spend any amount of money at all this summer on anyone. I would go with the same roster moving into next year with the plan to have more kids try to make an impression.
More competition come training camp.
But they won't do that. They're definitely going to add.
Yeah, I think they'll add it.
At least one forward.
I think they'll add one forward and one defenseman.
That forward will be aimed at trying to get Huberto going?
Yeah, I think that that's probably, whether it's an Anthony Duclair or somebody else. Like, I think that that is something that they will try to do, which I think is
he's one of your most important assets.
Well,
and if you can help him, you gotta. I guess
if you're retooling, you still got Jonathan Huberdeau for 7 years at $10.5 million. If you want to be competitive in 3 years' time, Jonathan Huberdeau is still going to have 4 years left at $10.5 million. Rather, it behooves you as an organization, to get people that can maybe unlock a little more offense from him. And if you can start, if you can continue with that process, even if your expectations are not to be competing for division titles next year, it probably does make some long-term sense to see if you can find a player or two.
Yeah. I wondered why Alan Walsh was hanging around in L.A. talking to various people after the game.
Huh.
He's Hubie's agent.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Nobody knows that. They think he only represents Marc-Andre Fleury and a cartoonist.
Yeah. Right. Now we learned last year he also represents Jonathan Huberdeau.
Yes, we do.
Hey, great stuff all year. I know that the Eric Francis Hour isn't going anywhere over the summer, but just as the season's now done, hell of a job all year. First year we've done the Eric Francis Hour like this. It's been a blast. It's been awesome.
Been awesome, buddy. Love doing it. It's my favorite hour of the week. And look forward to doing it. We'll do it right up until the big Anthony Duclair press conference.
Yeah, exactly. You heard it here first. Bye, buddy. Have a good weekend, hey.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Eric Francis is on Twitter, at Eric Francis. You can catch him at sportsnet.ca. More great stuff coming up next week from Francis at sportsnet.ca. His Jacob Markstrom column is live right now over at sportsnet.ca as well. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers. That'll wrap us up on the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live Standardbred Racing's back Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45. At Century Downs Racetrack and Casino, visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly.